Welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Today we have the special privilege of having Kevin Tedeschi with us, the CEO of our organization, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. Kevin is the author of over 30 books and three dedicated specifically to dreams. So today we are going to focus on dream interpretation and understanding the powerful gift or tool that we have in our dreaming consciousness. So welcome, Kevin. It's really great to have you here again.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Of course, of course.
Dreams is really one of my favorite topics, and lots of times people ask me, you know, how did you get started, how can you do it, and how do I learn more? And I usually say, I really got started with dream interpretation in a Search for God study group, more than 30 years ago. And study groups are ecumenical groups that meet around the country, discuss concepts on spiritual growth from the Cayce material. And the group I was in really encouraged members to keep track of their dreams. And about every 6 months or so, they'd encourage group members to write out a question that we'd all dream on together, like, what do I need to work on spiritually? Or what can you tell me about my relationship with so-and-so? And dream on that for a week and come in and share it with group members. And that's really what got me started. And I became not only convinced, but enthused by how frequently we get insights from our dreams.
Oh, that's great. And I know that since I've been here, I've certainly used you a few times for dream interpretation.
More than a few, Peter.
I didn't think you remembered that. But
yeah.
Yes, you're certainly very, very, in my experience, very, very gifted with dreams. And I think you even said that it's a past life sort of experience that you've had. I think you've alluded to how you used to get paid, I think, to do
this. Yeah, in the past, I had an experience once where I saw myself in the desert, sitting on the sand, and people would come to me for dream help, mm-hmm. and I'd help them with their dreams, and at the end of it, they would pay me. And it's not something, you don't get paid anymore for dream interpretation. It's just like a skill that people want help with. But I have spoken on dreams on six continents, and I think people are amazed at how often they get valid insights from their dreams. And there's so many dreams that people have common dreams. Like very often someone will say, well, what does a dream mean if you're falling? Well, generally it means something's out of control. Mm. And that's why you feel like you're falling. Yeah. Or someone will have a dream where they're out looking in a mall or a parking lot and they can't find their car. Mm-hmm. They've really lost sight of their direction, what it is they want to do with their life, where they want to mm-hmm. go, things like that. Sometimes people have dreams where their teeth fall out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. One of the readings suggested that teeth shouldn't fall out of your mouth, just like bad words shouldn't fall out of your mouth. So sometimes that means we've been saying critical things of other people. And the list goes on and on and on. I usually tell people that obviously each one of us is our own best dream interpreter, really because we know what's going on in our life. We are aware of the people in our life and what they mean to us. But, we can always say, if I had the dream, this is what it would mean to me. Mm-hmm. One of the things I often think about when I'm on a radio program is the challenge with dream interpretation is that sometimes we take our symbols and we impose them on other people. So just as background, I grew up and had one of the best grandmothers you could ever have. She was a pie-baking grandmother. She loved you unconditionally. She just totally loving. And on the radio program, a woman had a dream where her grandmother had given her a birdcage, where if I take my image of a grandmother and impose it on her dream, I'm going to get my own interpretation. So the first thing I asked her was, tell me how you feel about your grandmother. And she said, my grandmother was the most critical human being I ever met. Mm. So her experience with a grandmother is very different than mine. Mm-hmm. That's why, ultimately, each of us is our own best dream interpreter with a little practice.
I see. So you have to interpret the dreamer in a way.
In a way, you have to figure out where they're coming from.
The dream and the dreamer.
Yeah. Cayce said dreams contrast and correlate the events of our day, that we can get insights into any area of our life. And really, the way I think about it is that science, this is not Edgar Cayce, but science has proven that of the 100% of the stimulus coming to your mind, the conscious mind filters out more than 95%. Mm-hmm. That sounds high, but you don't feel the seat on your bottom or your shirt on your body or your glasses on your nose. But all that information and insight, body language, things you see throughout the course of a day, is stored in your subconscious. And that really comes awake when we sleep. Mm-hmm. And if we can get insights into our life through our dreams, it can be a really helpful experience.
Mm-hmm. So at nighttime, it's kind of when all that 95% that has been screened out kind of comes into play.
Absolutely.
And gets sorted through. And if anything was important that maybe we missed or
Right. And people have often have the experience where they go to bed worried or anxious or upset about something, and then they wake up and they feel refreshed after a good night's sleep. The mind has come to resolution in the dream state. Mm-hmm. And so dreams can be helpful even if we don't remember them. Mm-hmm. But they're even more helpful when we can remember them and get insights from them. And I know lots of our viewers and listeners are interested in dreams. We've been getting all kinds of dreams since we advertised this program.
Yeah, yes, I've been following it on social media, and it's created quite a buzz. And I think, we've talked a lot about the importance, over the years, importance of working with dreams. And I think it's great that we found this medium, because I think it makes it it's going to be very accessible to people. So I'm excited that we're trying this out, and I hope it pilots something into maybe something regular. We'll see how today goes.
All right,
but
great.
One of the things, before we get into working with individual dreams, some of the things that I've thought about with dreams is when to know if it's symbolic, or when to know if it's an actual, precognitive or something like that, or when you perhaps dream of a deceased loved one, when that's symbolic, or maybe when you're actually having some kind of actual contact. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of way that you would particularly interpret whether a dream is somehow telling you something specific about the person you're dreaming about, or whether it's symbolic, or is it sometimes both?
Well, it can obviously be both, and generally I often stop and think about, well, what's going on in this person's life? So that if they've had a loved one recently that deceased, mm-hmm. or is deceased, and they dream about that loved one, Casey would say very often real communication is taking place. I remember that when I was much younger, maybe a late teenager, when my grandfather died, I had a dream where we were all at my grandparents' house for Thanksgiving, which we often did growing up. Mm-hmm. And we were all around the Thanksgiving table, and I looked up and my grandfather was in the kitchen all by himself. So I went into the kitchen, and he explained to me that he was dead, that he was fine, everything was great, and not to worry, and he loved being my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of the dream. And I had that dream over and over and over, and I kept thinking, why am I having this dream? I have no unresolved issues. And then it hit me. My grandfather was trying to communicate that to every person sitting around the Thanksgiving table, the family, but I was the only one watching my dreams.
Oh, and did you communicate it with others?
I tried to explain it to the others, and some of them thought it was interesting, some not. So lots of times it has to do with what's going on in our life at the present time. We also have to become realistic. If we dream about a major natural disaster, let's stop and ask ourselves, is the universe really picking us to be the one to relay this to humankind?
Right.
Or is there something symbolic about that disaster, even if it really happens,
yes.
that correlates with something going on in our own life?
Yes.
So one of the things that... probably many of our listeners don't even remember this, but during the Oklahoma City bombing, we got maybe a dozen different people who contacted us to say they had dreamed about an office building blowing up just before it happened. And they felt somehow guilty that they should have somehow known where it was and stuff. Mm-hmm. And in every one of those instances, the person was either facing the loss of a job, problems at work, the end of something. And what happens is the subconscious mind looks for something in the individual dreamer's life mm-hmm. that corresponds with something going out in the outer world, and brings that image to mind as an awareness. The same thing is about to happen to you. Mm. It's not that we have random precognitive experiences to alert humankind. Mm-hmm. Generally, dreams are for us, and the dreaming mind uses external images to bring that awareness to us.
Yeah. Well, earlier when we were talking just about the purposes of dreams, I remember I had a dream about a friend I'd lost touch with. And I think he may have not seemed well or something. Just remember I dreamt about him. But I had lost touch with him. But we got back in touch maybe 6 months later. And he told me that at that time that I'd had that dream, he was going through his divorce. Mm-hmm. And so what I've taken from that is that sometimes if I dream about somebody that I've lost touch with, I try to reach out to them and just check in. It's almost like, to me there's some kind of... dream telepathy or something.
Yeah, and we're connected to one another in ways we probably don't even imagine.
Yeah. Good. So anything you'd like our viewers to know before we start digging into a couple dreams?
Sure. Well, I like to have this piece of paper handy because I usually jot down a few notes when a dream comes up. So
okay.
That's how I usually do it.
So you won't be evaluating me. That's not
No, I'm not giving an evaluation here.
Oh, okay, good.
And what I generally do is I say, if I had the dream, this is what it would mean to me. So it might be very different for some of our dreamers, but let's give it a go.
Okay, good. Here's, we have some dreams that have been submitted ahead of time, and then we're going to take some dreams live.
Okay.
So I'll read the ones that have been pre-submitted, and then you can read the ones that come in live. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, good. So this is a dream from Gabriella, and she writes, "Dear Kevin, I would like to ask you about a dream I had many years ago. In the dream, I'm in a cave and I'm being chased by a German Shepherd dog. Later on, I'm in a room with others taking an exam. The group members don't accept the outcome or the grade they have received from the exam because they say it's not right, and I am supporting them. We are now going by an elevator going upstairs, and when we exit the elevator, I buy a book from a bookseller.
Okay.
I'm eager to hear your interpretation. Thank you, Gabby.
All right, well, for me, there's three main components of this dream. The first part is the cave with the German Shepherd, the second part is the exam, and the third part is the elevator with the bookseller.
I think the exam is a common, I mean, certainly many people have had that dream of being
tested.
Yeah, you're in high school.
Exactly.
And you're not prepared.
This dream is all about personal criticism and being criticized by others. Let me explain why.
Okay.
That a German Shepherd for lots of people, I mean, if I have a German Shepherd and he's my favorite little dog and I walk into the room and he wags his little tail, I may not get a German Shepherd in my image as a dream for something like this. Mm-hmm. But generally, a German Shepherd is a guard dog, a police dog. When you think of a German Shepherd, you can think of him growling or snarling at you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the woman is being chased by this dog in a cave, it suggests that probably a female member of her family or herself, because mm-hmm. a cave is symbolic of a woman, mm-hmm. is extremely critical. So my sense is that she grew up with a lot of criticism, especially from females. She's probably very self-critical, which comes up again in the second one, where other people are disagreeing with the exam, and she's agreeing with them. So mm-hmm. she's agreeing with the criticism. And then the fact that she's in an elevator at a bookseller, my sense is this person is somewhat critical about what's been going on in their life, and they're really looking for information about what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Where do I go from here? What is my purpose in life? Mm. So if I had the dream, that's what it would mean to me.
Oh, okay. You know, it's like a synchronicity or coincidence. It's just yesterday on the news, I saw that at the TSA, like at airport security, they're stopping using German Shepherds because they make children especially afraid. And they're using, they call them floppy-eared dogs that are more, people associate with them friendly. So it's kind of interesting that there was that correlation.
Very interesting.
Great.
Let me do one.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gabriella, and let's see what's coming in live.
All right. This one just in. I woke at 1 a.m. from a dream, speaking perfect Spanish, also hearing the phrase over and over in my head, "Dónde está usted," which means "Where are you?" Well, you know, really, it suggests to me that this is a dream from Anne. And it's partly a personal reflection, wondering, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I in this particular job? What's going on in my relationship? It's really kind of my own higher self trying to bring to my awareness, what's going on here, and am I happy with it? So I think it's a personal reflective dream trying to get you to become aware of what's going on, what you really want to go on.
What do you make of, I mean, I assume this woman is English, speaking dominant. So she says she's speaking perfect Spanish. So somehow she's gained an ability in the dream that she doesn't have in the waking state. Do you make anything of that?
Obviously we have talents from past lives that come over, but sometimes dreaming things like this happen because we remember them. Mm-hmm. Especially some people who don't watch their dreams all the time, they'll have an unusual experience so they remember the dream. So things like a very scary dream where something horrible is happening, or speaking a language we don't speak, or, you know, and quite frankly, sometimes a sex dream, the same thing happens, where those unusual experiences happen because we remember. And mm-hmm. then when we wake up, we can work with the concept of what's going on in the dream.
Now, in Spanish, you can say, where are you, in the formal tense, which would be what's here, donde tú estás would be the informal sense. Does it make anything that this question is being asked in the formal sense? Like, it wouldn't be among friends.
You wouldn't say it among friends, no.
No, it would be to somebody that you're speaking to that you're honoring or respectful of or not familiar with.
Yeah, well, what we start out by saying, I think it's from her higher self. So my sense is it's a higher self, it's a divine guidance kind of thing.
Now, if she was here present, would you ask her any questions about...
Sure, I'd ask her, is there something going on at work or in a relationship or in your personal life that you're really questioning yourself? Is this over? Do I need to make a change? You know, something like that.
Or what does Spanish mean to you?
I could ask her that.
Because I know I grew up, my first language was Spanish. And when I speak Spanish, to me Spanish is a language of friendship and humor and family. Mm-hmm. And so anything in Spanish is more light. Mm-hmm. And English is more the language where I went to school and all my formal education has been in English. So So that for me would have a difference between if it was Spanish or English.
Okay. You got another one?
Oh gosh, I've got a. How long are you here for? If we run out, I can throw in a couple. I know you love my dreams, Kevin. All right, so here's a dream from Derek. Dear Kevin, I had a dream last year that shook me up quite a bit. It was very short, but quite vivid. And here's the dream. A man was suddenly standing before me, holding a big rock in his hand, and he threw it with great force right at my head. I was jolted awake immediately. It was very unsettling. I can still see this man, but he is no one that I recognize. When talking about it with a friend who's a spiritual healer, she suggested that it may have been a past life memory I had in a dream a few years back after my brother had passed away. As I woke up, I noticed one of his fingernails needed a trim.
I think that's another dream.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, okay.
All right, so, well, let's start with the past life aspect of this first. Mm-hmm. Lots of times people ask me about why you would have a past life dream. And we don't have past life dreams just random for your higher self to prove there's reincarnation. Mm-hmm. What happens is that, let me use an example. Let's say that lots of adults tell me they have a dream, this is a very common dream, where they're back in high school. Maybe they're in an English class or a social study class and they're sitting at the desk. And all at once the teacher's passing out a test and they didn't know there'd be a test that day. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of horrified, and
yes,
that's the end of the dream.
Yes.
That dream is basically a symbol of not feeling prepared for something. So what generally happens is in waking life, something's going on in my life at work or at home or in something in my own life, and I don't feel prepared. I'm not really sure what to do about it. I go to sleep. I have this dream about high school, mm-hmm, not because I have unresolved issues with high school, but because my soul mind looks for a period in my soul history when the same thing was happening, when I didn't feel prepared, mm-hmm, to bring to my awareness, I'm not prepared for something. Mm-hmm. So to skip over to this guy's dream, yes, it is possible that in a past life, he was hit in the head with a rock, but that's not the reason he's having this dream. Mm-hmm. My sense is that the head is where we have our thoughts and ideas. Mm-hmm. Somebody has basically shot down a thought, an idea, a goal, or something he really wanted to do, and it could even be himself, mm-hmm, that he thought about doing something, or maybe he expressed it to someone, boy, I'd really like to do this, and someone just quickly shot that down, which was such a surprise. Maybe he was open, excited about it. Someone shot it down, mm-hmm, and that's why he had the dream. And so my sense is he probably needs to, you know, revisit whatever it is he wanted to think about doing, maybe tell someone else rather than the person who shot it down.
Okay. You know, as you were recounting about test dreams, I remembered a dream that I had some years ago. And you know how you can kind of petition a dream?
Mm-hmm.
You can
ask for a dream?
Yeah, the question I have was, how am I doing in my spiritual work, or, you know, in life in general? I kind of fulfilling the tasks which I incarnated, mm-hmm, to do. And I was in a classroom and I was getting the test back. I'd taken a test and I was getting the score back. And I got something like a 97 or a 98. And I looked at that and I said, I am just doing so well. Really, really good. Then I look at the woman sitting next to me and she had like a 262. And so I said, what is this out of? And she said, 300. So I noticed that I had felt really good, but then I realized that the scale was different than I thought. And so I remember I took that to mean like, maybe I'm coasting. Maybe it looks on the outside like, oh, Peter's doing really well, but maybe there's a untapped potential that I have to do greater. Do you think that's a adequate interpretation of that dream?
Yes.
And you completely disagree, don't you? You think I should have gotten the 268, right?
No, I think it suggests everybody in your life was doing better than you were. No, my sense
is... Or I should stop copying off of other people's tests.
No, my sense is that it suggests, if I had the dream, it would suggest to me that there were things I'm being evaluated for that I'm not currently cognizant of. Mm. That when I ask how am I doing, that, you know, maybe in these things I'm doing really well, almost 100. Mm-hmm. But there's other things I haven't even taken into account that are part of the curriculum.
Yeah, I think that's how I've interpreted, have worked with it. Hopefully, maybe I'll petition another one and see if I'm in the 200s.
All right, great. All right, here's another dream from Margaret. I had a dream of my dog who had just passed. She died of cancer and we had to put her down. That night I fell asleep and dreamed Nova ran up the steps and jumped on the bed. She was shiny and had no tumors. I asked her what she was doing here and she knew she had passed and was a little confused. She wagged her tail, barked, and woke up.
I think this is a visitation. I think that especially since the doggy had just passed away. I mean, when we have a dog that we love, let's say, and when we think of that dog, we think about love, then from a metaphorical perspective, the dog could be a symbol of love. So mm-hmm. we might dream about the dog and it maybe symbolizes love with something else. Mm-hmm. A literal perspective, it's really the dog. And I think in this case, you know, when an animal passes away, it's not gone, it still has a spirit body.
Yes.
I think the dog was still visiting her. At some point, the visitations might be fewer and fewer because she goes on with her own development mm-hmm. in the doggy world. But yeah, I think she was really having experience with the dog.
Yeah, and I've found that in my work as a regressionist. When people have that, you know, end of life experience, you know, or they're going to the light and they see their loved ones, see their pets.
Yep.
And it's always very reassuring for people to realize that their dogs, cats, that have an existence, have a continued
soul life. Yeah, life is a continuous experience regardless of what form of life.
But I'd never thought of getting a visitation from a pet in a dream. That's like a very warm feeling.
Very warm feeling, yeah.
Yeah, so as much as like a grandmother can visit us, so could a loved one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really nice. I'm glad we're covering a lot of these topics. All right, so ready for another one?
I'm ready.
All right, this is from Bridget. Dear Kevin, in this dream, I saw a pure white cow. Then my husband was there, and he assured me that it was not there, that the white cow was not there. Then I was in a house, and a big grandfather clock struck midnight. My husband then said, uh-oh. Then I went outside to find the cow coming out of the ocean as I heard angelic music. I left the house and walked down a road. I saw a construction crew had discovered ancient stone pillars from a forgotten civilization, proving that it existed. I was joined by four men that were friends. I was told we were going to be blessed and rewarded for helping to unearth these pillars.
Wow, that's quite a dream. Hmm. So if Bridget, you said Bridget?
Yes.
If Bridget was here, I'd have some dialogue with her, but since we don't have her here, this is what the dream would mean to me. Anytime you have a grandfather clock in a dream, generally it symbolizes the end of something, especially if it's stroking midnight. Mm. I mean, it could be a literal death of something, but it could be just an end of something, or mm-hmm. the time is up for something. And the fact that it's midnight, you know, right after midnight, it's the dawn of a new day. Mm-hmm. So this is, not only is it the end of something, but on the other hand, it's the beginning of something else. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the cow, and then we'll go to the pillars. In a dream, you know, for whatever reason, a cow can be symbolic of female energy, mother's milk. Uh-huh. It can be symbolic of a mother. It can be symbolic of a female influence. And this is a pure white cow. So
yes.
My sense is that there's either a spiritual female in her life, maybe someone who's passed on, would be a pure white female presence that's trying to help her. But my sense is that the ancient pillars, with these other people around them, she is about to uncover what her real purpose is. These pillars are talents and abilities from the past, things that she's worked with for a very long time. Although there's an ending in her life that she may be aware of, and although there may have been some female individuals in her life who have passed away or who are passing, this is the dawn of a new beginning, and that energy from the female influences are going to help her figure out what it is that her real soul talents are. So to me, although it's the end, it's a beginning, and it's a very positive dream.
And then the husband symbol, kind of twice it kind of, first it denies the cow, and then at the grandfather clock it kind of says, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Is that something, the male energy, whether within her or whatever the husband is meaning, is kind of, she has to balance that.
Could
logic.
Be, and it also suggests that, if it's literal, it suggests that her spouse is not aware of the turmoil that's been going on inside of her, or the wondering what I'm supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. but now he's aware of something really is coming to an end and he needs to deal with it.
And then what do you make then that the cow is coming from the ocean? What would this ocean possibly symbolize?
It can obviously symbolize emotion, but to me, especially because it starts out as a white cow, it's spirit. Uh-huh. So if she was here and I had a little chance to dialogue with her, my sense is that the talent she brings with her from the past is some kind of a spiritual talent, whether it's healing, whether it's emotional counseling with people, whether it's being a dream interpreter, whatever it is, that this is a spiritual talent she has from the past that's about to resurface itself.
And she has to overcome some doubt.
Maybe doubt, but I think that part of her is worried about the ending of something. This is a positive, you know, it's a new beginning, and it has to do with your spiritual direction from here on out.
And then at the end, she says she's joined by four men that were friends. So now there's the male coming in.
There is.
And as the four as friendships. Would four, does the numbers have a potential
absolutely.
Meaning?
I mean, theoretically, yeah, the four can also be, you know, every direction, north, south, east, and west, so it's wholeness. Four can also be symbolic of a family unit. Uh-huh. Four can be symbolic of balance. So I think that this is a very positive new beginning for her. So whatever's going on in her life, worry not. Things are really about to change for the positive.
Oh, good. We're getting some really great dreams, I think. These are really helpful, working on lots of different levels.
Should I do one over here? Diana, it looks like, keeps having dreams with a symbol of a tsunami. What does a tsunami mean? Well, anything to do with, or tidal waves, anything to do with water that's churning is some kind of an emotional experience. So my sense is that in waking life, she has ongoing emotional experiences, whether it's at work or home. She's having to deal with people around her or maybe her own emotions, but a tsunami or a tidal wave is just ongoing emotional upheavals, currents, frustrations that she keeps dealing with.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, let's say somebody had been present at a tsunami, might mean something different for that person than if somebody who had never been present.
If you had a real experience and you were at a tsunami, my sense it would symbolize the end of something, because it would be total and complete devastation to be end of something.
Mm. Oh, good. Ready for a...
I'm ready.
We're shooting... You're pretty good at this, I see. Good, all right, let's look at one from Jeannie.
Jeannie, okay.
She said, "Dear Kevin, I recently had a dream where I was shopping in a barn and that had been turned into a store." Okay, so I had a dream that I was shopping in a barn that had been turned into a store. I went into the basement where there were tables filled with piles of potatoes and onions. On an end display, there was a huge potato shaped like a heart. It had blossoms around the edges, making it look like a Valentine. I told a sales lady that I wanted that potato, and she had it wrapped for me and told me that the cost was $2.44.
Okay. Well, that's a great dream. Generally, when we dream about a barn, it's a symbol of a storehouse of talents, and the storehouse of talents has to do with your own soul memory, essentially. And the fact she's in a store, the barn turns into the store, my sense is she's trying to figure out what it is she wants to do at this point in her life. So she goes further into her own subconscious, the basement, and sees all these potatoes and onions. And what really stands out is a potato in the shape of a heart. Mm-hmm. This person has an incredible capacity for love. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things she has in her storehouse is this capacity for love. And the fact that she gets it relatively cheaply, I mean, it's going to be easier for her to manifest this love, whether it's in a new job. But the fact is, $2.44, it could be relatively inexpensive. But $2.44 also adds up to 10, which is a 1. Mm-hmm. This is a new beginning of some kind. Mm. So my sense is that she's at a point in her life, she's trying to look at her resources, skills she has, what does she have most to share with other people. It's love. I don't know this person's age, but if I had this dream and I was a grandmother kind of figure, a grandfather, my sense would be I need to share this love with my family members. Mm. If I'm looking for a new career option, let's say I'm in my middle age and I'm looking for corruption, I need to pick whatever career most lets me share empathy and compassion with other people.
Now, one question I have is, why would her subconscious pick potatoes and onions, a particular potato?
This is a very practical person. This person is very practical.
Meat and potatoes.
Well, you know, what can I do, whether it's how can I make my money, what can I do, or maybe this person has been a homemaker, and they're now trying to figure out what they can do out in the outer world, whatever it might be.
But, you know. Or like potatoes are just kind of like a simple food that feeds.
She's from Ireland. Everybody has potatoes in Ireland.
It's like a staple, so there's something that maybe she has that is going to nourish.
Love is her staple.
Yeah, nourishes lots of people. Oh, yeah. How nice. That's a nice dream.
Should I do
Yeah, let's do another one.
Okay, Wendy's asking, why do you have repeating dreams, dreams that happen over and over and over
again? Oh, that's a great question.
So again, it depends. So generally, it's because of one of two things. Casey would say that when we have a dream and it's about a challenge or something we're about to face, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And though sometimes we have a dream over and over again, because we're not paying attention, and it's to bring to our awareness that this dream is about to happen, this experience is about to happen. So the reason it repeats itself is to try to get it to our awareness. The other one is very similar to what we just talked about in terms of the school, that we have a memory pattern, and then our soul mind is trying to bring to our awareness that the same thing is about to happen again. Mm-hmm. In my own life, I used to work as a busboy, and then later a waiter in a country club. And on one occasion, I had a dream about being at this country club, mm-hmm. and in the dream, I realized that something was going to happen in 6 weeks. Well, since that time, whenever I dream about this country club, I know it's about 6 weeks. It has something to do with 6 weeks. So the dream image has become a symbol for 6 weeks. So very often the same kind of things happens for people.
Oh, that's interesting, because I know that sometimes I've thought that it would be useful for people to create their own dream dictionary.
Absolutely.
So that your subconscious now knows that if something's going to come in the near future, month and a half, it gives you the country club symbol and you get the...
You get
meaning right away.
And if somebody else was to tell that dream to someone else and they knew nothing about the 6 weeks, it wouldn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really another reason why we're our best dream interpreter. We have a list of our ongoing symbols.
Yeah, that's great. You know, as we're talking, I remember back in college, I majored in psychology, and we had to write a term paper. And I said, I'm interested in dreams. I'm going to write a term paper on dreams. Of course, I found out that was ridiculous, that there's so much, you know, you have to figure out what aspect of dream,
yeah.
Whether it's, you know, dream research or, you know, it's the REM state or all that sort of thing. But, you know, I remember I looked at Freud and Jung and kind of the different psychological interpreters of dreams. And then when I read about Edgar Cayce, what I found that what separated Cayce from anybody else I had studied on dreams was that how Cayce said that at night, we're having actual experiences. That the other, everybody else had said, well, it's like you're not really doing anything. You're just in your filing cabinet and you're correlating the events of the day with, you know, your past memories. And then Carl Jung did bring up past lives, that was also part of it. But I thought that it was very unique to Cayce. You know, maybe, who knows, maybe ancients talked about it. But that we actually, I guess, you know, he said we leave our bodies.
We leave our bodies, we have educational experiences, we go to other realms of consciousness, yeah.
Do you think some of those interdimensional experiences get downloaded as dreams? And that they have a meaning about happiness?
Yeah, I think that sometimes, otherwise we probably couldn't understand what was going on. So sometimes we have a symbolic representation about what's happening.
Yeah, it's like a picture paints 1,000 words. Maybe a dream can symbolize 1,000 dimensions.
Yeah, you're reminding me, when I was about 20, I remember having an experience of being in Egypt, and I had never been in Egypt before, and I became somewhat lucid in the dream, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is an out-of-body experience. I am really in Egypt. And then I started becoming a little worried, well, how am I going to get home? And I started dreaming about my bedroom in the dream, and I actually ended up back in the bedroom. So it was I think I really was having an out-of-body experience.
Wow. You know, we'll get back to dreams, but I remember, I guess we're having dream memory tag. I had woke up from a night's sleep, and I had this dream that I was had been in the middle of the ocean, and I was just floating in the ocean. And I remember the feeling from the dream was just bliss, just being connected and just floating. It was nighttime. But then as I thought about the dream, I said, you know, if that actually happened, I'd be terrified. I'm just right in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, maybe in some kind of state of consciousness, I was having like a oneness experience. And the best way I could download it was just that being
in the ocean.
Being in the ocean.
Incredible.
Floating in that. So that made me think that, oh, perhaps that was a three-dimensional way of downloading a multiple dimensional experience. Maybe experiences that would go beyond the visual.
Absolutely.
So that was just a thought I had about what Cayce may have meant about how, you know, when we leave our bodies and how we might bring in whatever experiences we've had. You know, that famous reading where Cayce talked about how, you know, in the interplanetary sojourns, that there was a woman who was going to Mercury at night to gain the experiences. And so it was almost like she was having a life between life experience while she was in the body.
Yeah, we do have experiences in consciousness in the dream state, and that's why sometimes we wake up just exhausted. I mean, we've been doing all these things, and then we have to go to work, you know?
Like night school.
Yeah.
I consider it. Okay, good. Let's see what we have here. All right, this is a little bit of a longer one, and it comes from Susan. Dear Kevin, I spent over a year dreaming about being ambushed everywhere that I went. Soldiers, mercenaries, tribal natives, ticked off neighbors, irate customers, etc. In hindsight, I could see that it was my own self-destructive behavior doing the real ambushing. I see, so she has her own interpretation. In 2005, after my husband quit his well-paying job in order to sell firewood for a living, I started having dreams about losing our home and having to find somewhere to live. Apartments, townhouses, barns, old airport hangars, anywhere we could put our stuff and sleep with a roof over our heads. Obviously, I was worried about our financial security.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, well, to me, the first part of it, yeah, she is right. Part of it is her self-destructive behavior. But to me, it suggests that the dreamer in waking life takes on too much responsibility. I mean, she's taking on responsibility for everyone around her. And that gets reinforced later on when it's her husband that loses her job, but she's doing all the worrying mm-hmm. about how you can pay for the home and everything. So my sense is one of her... if we want to use the word lessons, or one of the things you might be able to learn, is to when something is bothering her and she feels like she's taking on the responsibility of the world, she needs to find someone to share with and say, you know, I really need help with this. Mm-hmm. I really need, husband, I need you to talk yes. to me about this because I'm worried about the house, whatever yes. it might be. So her issue is she's taking on everyone's responsibility and then it becomes overwhelming.
Yes, I guess she felt that he quit a high-paying job to sell firewood. And so I think that she must have felt that threw the financial burden
right.
of the family on her.
Yeah.
And so you were saying that the dream is encouraging her to have a conversation with her husband or kind of get somebody to share.
Yeah, and not only her husband, because in the first part of it, she's ambushed by soldiers, mercenaries, irate neighbors. My sense is if there's a problem next door in the neighborhood, she takes it on. If her mm-hmm. child has a problem at school, wow. she takes it on.
Yeah.
If something's going on that she's anywhere around, she's taking it on as her problem.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason is that really happens a lot of times if people are true empaths. They take on other people's issues. And the goal of an empath is to somehow empathize with the person, sympathize, but don't take it on as your own issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to your husband, you know, okay, you quit your job, you need to find another one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you cannot take on everybody else's problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's coming to mind is I think that, you know, I've found and you found certainly that sometimes a person will innocently tell you a dream, and as a, you know, understanding dream symbolism in the subconscious, oftentimes you get a glimpse into something that's going on in their life that they may not be aware that the dream is saying. You know, I remember
yeah.
that dream that Casey interpreted where a man had saw a spider and somebody went into his house and the web was all over the place. And then Casey basically, from that dream about man, a house, and spiders, interpreted saying that you're having an affair, it's threatening your job because you work for your wife's husband.
And you had all these webs around.
Yeah, I can imagine the guy was like, you know, no thanks. Do you
yeah.
find that sometimes a person will tell you a dream and you kind of gauge like how, especially if it's in an audience, you know,
yeah.
how much you want to.
Well, you have to be, I remember years ago, so many years have passed now that I can probably tell this, that there were two of us here that often did dream interpretation, me and another woman named Nancy, and she got this dream where basically it came in, and this is a general idea. This woman lived in a beautiful Victorian house and everything was perfect. And she just loved this house, and it was just like everything she'd ever dreamed of. And she went out on the front, beautiful Victorian porch, and the house is surrounded by a fence. And she noticed there's a male deer at the end of the yard with its head over the fence, and it's looking at three does going by. And that was the end of the dream.
Mm.
And so she brought it to me, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, my sense is, and this was the same sense Nancy had, that her idealized image of her life and her husband and all their was not being shared by her husband, who was actually looking at other opportunities walking by.
Mm.
Now, you can't send a letter, you know, P.S., your husband's having an affair, but But I think you could, what we did say at the time is suggest, you know, you and your husband need to talk about your home life and mm-hmm. what's going on, because your idealized perception of how you're doing may not be being shared by him. Mm-hmm. So you can be diplomatic and still get the idea across.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in dream study groups. I remember I was in Boston. I was in one for several years. And it creates an incredible intimacy among the group.
You know what's going on in everybody's life.
Yeah. And I find that sometimes it's like the symbol is shared. And people will come to the, and they'll tell a dream. I remember that I was in one group, and I think that the symbol of a car and a vehicle was in four of the dreams that were told that night. It was like we were somehow working together. And I remember it really, I don't know if that's the collective unconscious or what exactly that was, but dreams are, and also like you mentioned earlier with Search for God study groups, I remember the group I was in, we would have oftentimes, like once a month, we would have a little extension after the group. People who could have had to go home would, but we would do a little bit of dream study. And I think that was a real nice way of, in a safe, loving, spiritual context to work with dreams. Because I think you do need confidentiality, and absolutely. If you're going to do a dream study group, because so much of the subconscious material gets expressed there.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking of getting common symbols, we've done a number of dream conferences here with people like Henry Reed, who has done this project where you get a core group of maybe eight people in a group, and then you pick out who everyone's going to dream for. And maybe this person gives everyone a key, or maybe they just write their name on a piece of paper or a comb or whatever it is. And that night they all go back to their rooms and they dream on mm-hmm. this person's problem that they don't know about. Mm-hmm. And they come back and share their dreams. And the number of similarities in the dreams is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And then collectively they come up with an answer for the person. It's an amazing process.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it's really tapping into the subconscious as a
And that's really why I'm a big proponent of writing out a question and dreaming on it and see what happens.
Oh. And so that's a technique that you've created yourself.
Well, I've done it over and over and over again and just gotten some amazing insights.
So that's nice, something nice to do when you're at a conference and it's over two nights. So you can do it.
Do it the night and then share the next day.
They can.
I've told this experience before on various programs, but I was doing a dream lecture in Jekyll Island, Georgia, and we had 3 days together, 3 days and two nights. And I have done this other times, but on this particular occasion, I encouraged everyone to write out the question, what do I need to work on spiritually? And then we would come back and share what we had. And so I wrote that question out because I wanted to be a participator with the group. And this is the dream I had. Wrote out a question, what do I need to work on spiritually? This has maybe been 25 years ago. And in the dream, I'm walking in an old town. And I knew it was an old town because they had dirt streets and they mm-hmm. had plank wood sidewalks. I'm walking on this plank wood sidewalk. And I realize I'm walking next to a very tall man with glasses, a top hat, and an overcoat. And I look again and I realize I'm walking next to Edgar Casey. And I'm in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So I stop there on the sidewalk and I look up at Mr. Casey and I said, so how am I doing? And he goes like this, looks over his glasses like this. He says, well, Kevin, you do know you spend more time watching TV than meditating. And that was mm-hmm. the end of the dream. But, you know, it was an encouragement to spend more time in meditation. But I thought that was a great way to get that imagery mm-hmm. across. What do I need to work on spiritually? Spend more time in meditation.
Yeah, that's a great. I mean, I do think there are dreams that we have at times in our life that stay with us. Yeah. I remember when I was 16, I had this dream. And you may remember there was Coppertone. You know, it was the sun lotion, yeah. And the slogan for it was "Who owns the sun?" Coppertone, and that was the theme going on in the dream. I think I was, as a kid, I was very curious about Australia, so I think I was in Australia. But the theme kept saying "Who owns the sun?" Coppertone, Coppertone. And I remember as I woke up, I years later, I kind of thought that I was kind of figuring out who I was versus who my parents wanted me to be, mm-hmm. and that I had been trying to suppress.
You were the sun.
Who owns the sun, meaning do I have a right to express my own individuality?
It was either that or you needed to become a Coppertone model for the commercial, you know?
Or I was getting a sunburn. But, eventually what happened is that, you know, my parents are psychiatrists. I'm the youngest. My two sisters and my brother are psychiatrists, and I went a different path. So I think that dream seeded this initiated this process of, you know, who are you? Who owns you?
You're your own man.
Do you have to suppress that? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take another one.
Oh, good.
This is from Jennifer. What do you think about dreams, experiences where you wake up and can't move, can't talk, scream, etc., and sense something dark or presence does not feel good or positive? It's very scary. I've tried to scream or call out for help to a neighbor or roommate. I'm trying very hard to move and or vocalize. Sometimes I can, but it's very limited. I generally call on an archangel, but I don't always. Generally, when I call him, the heavy feelings, paralyzed feeling passes. This is a very common experience, and many people are surprised and relieved to hear how common it is. And basically what happens is we're asleep, and just before waking, it's either just before waking up or just before going to sleep. What happens, Casey said, is very often during sleep state or during consciousness states, we leave our body. And so what Jennifer is experiencing here is she's actually out of her body when she becomes conscious. Mm-hmm. And because you're out of your body, several things happen. You have no movement over your body. Mm-hmm. That's why she can't scream. That's mm-hmm. why she can't move anything. And when you're out of your body, you're actually open to other levels of awareness. So the dark presence, you might say they're thought forms, they're scary figures, you can hear, you can feel ghosts, all those kinds of things. So what you need to do generally is you try to move your awareness right to the maybe your center of your forehead, start to pray, call upon an angelic presence like she's done there. But when I would go to college, especially when I was staying up too late or not getting enough sleep, this experience would happen to me over and over and over again, and I was terrified.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I realized, you know, you're having an out-of-body experience, you're in an altered state of consciousness, you're seeing things that are there but not physical, just pray. Mm-hmm. Start to pray, move your little finger, try to move your little finger, and it will shorten the experience. You'll go back in your body.
Yeah, and then, you know, science kind of trying to interpret the same phenomenon, you know, non-mystically, calls it dream paralysis.
Yeah.
That just says that while we're in the dream state, in order to not wake up, that it shuts down our autonomic nervous system. And so that you know, because if we were to, you know how sometimes you're falling asleep and you dream you're kicking a ball,
yeah,
and you jerk, and then that kind of wakes you up. So in the
or
dream
your dog
state,
is barking even though the dog is sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in the dream state, that the way science says it is that we just shut down that nervous system. And then it's like, you know, I've had it come waking up from a nightmare where you want to get up, you can't move.
And I appreciate so much of what science has to offer, but the challenge with that interpretation sometimes is sometimes people have experiences where they're so far out of their body, they can hear what's happening in another room that they couldn't hear if they were in that room, mm-hmm. or they can see something in another room that they couldn't actually see. So that it doesn't explain the ability
the intensity
of the senses
of the
to
varieties.
Pick up on stuff that the normal body couldn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we, you know, that you know, with Edgar Cayce, they're always trying to fit it into the science box, you know, the five senses.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's just another way. And I think it also, like you're saying, we're trying to eliminate fear. Yeah. So that it's not like you're not going to get stuck or die or something like that.
Do you want to do another one?
Yes. Here's one from Manda. This is a short dream. Dear Kevin, my mother passed away in October, and she has visited me 3 times in my dreams. The first was 2 days after she passed. In two of those dreams, I guess in both those dreams, she was driving a car. In the third dream, she asked my brother to go into her house to get her license. The question she asks is, why was she in a car, and what's the symbol mean of the license?
Okay, so let me approach this from a couple perspectives. So I think she's having a real experience with her mother, and she's having real communication with her mother. Mm-hmm. The symbol of a car, if it's a literal symbol, maybe her mother is not aware of the fact that to get from one place to another, all she has to do is think about it. So it could be that her mother isn't aware yet, because she's in the death process, that I need to go see my daughter, I guess I have to drive there. So her mother mm-hmm. is taking on the car as a way to get from where she is to where she wants to go. Mm-hmm. All she really would have to do is think about it. Mm-hmm. It could also mean that when we die, we're still having a life experience, we still have more things to do, we still have a path. So it could be either one of those.
Oh.
Life continues. There's still more to do, still more to learn. It's an ongoing process.
Now, do you think there's any mystical explanation that it seems that shortly after a deceased loved one has passed, it seems like there's more dreams and they become less over time? Do you think that that's any way there's a more of a proximity with the other side?
Partly it's proximity, but I think that for most people, that is, especially after losing someone, that's when we're most intensely worried about them, thinking about mm-hmm. them. And I think very often the deceased loved one is trying to reassure us that they have continued. They're just not physical.
And then as they're doing their soul development or their soul work in between lifetimes, as they plan processing this lifetime, you know, as someone who's passed away, do you sense that, are they, if at any point in that process can they reach us in a dream? So let's say they passed away 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Would they just as easily be able to contact us in a dream as they would if they had died?
Yes,
a month
and very
ago?
Very often I encourage people who are wondering how their loved ones are doing to write out the question, how is so and so doing in Dream On It?
Okay.
Let's take another one here.
Yes,
this
yeah.
is from Diane. I dreamt I was running for the subway. When I got to the train, my mother was standing by the train door with an umbrella, and she told me I could not go with her. I woke up shortly thereafter. Well, there's so many possibilities with this one. The first thing I would ask Diane, if she was here with us, is whether her mother was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
If her mother's deceased, mm-hmm. it suggests she's having a communication with her mother, mm-hmm. and that her mother's trying to tell her she can't go on this train because that's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If her mother's still alive, to me it would suggest that her mother is going through some kind of a experience that she cannot participate in. She's on some kind of a journey. Uh-huh. For example, a train journey could symbolize, you know, my mother's going to go to a rest home and I'm worried about her, I don't know what to do. Her mother's having some kind of a collective experience with others, that's a train, mm-hmm. that Diane is not going to be able to experience.
And what about the umbrella, the fact that the mother is with an umbrella?
Well, I mean, this is an emotional experience. You hold an umbrella so that the water doesn't you know, touch you and stuff. So
uh-huh.
my sense is Diane and her mother are having experiences that they cannot necessarily experience what the other one's experiencing.
Mm.
And again, if she was here, it would be a lot easier to get to the heart of what the dream's ultimately about. Okay, here's another one that just came in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wants to know what it means when you watch yourself drown.
Mm.
Somebody is choking the life out of me. Somebody is trying to snuff out something I really want to do. I'm overloaded. I'm overwhelmed. There's an emotional experience that is very challenging. All those would be possibilities.
So I think we have time maybe for one or at most two more dreams.
Okay.
Coming. Well, let me tell you this, recount this one from Annie. So, dear Kevin, here's my dream. I am returning home when a moment comes when I am awake. I'm returning home. When the moment comes where I am to wake, there is this almost like another human takes over. It's like being thrown back here and being very irritated at the heaviness. The reality of this place is too much. There was so much peace and love, the comfort of home. Then the return triggers anger and frustration. Oh, I see. So in the dream state, I guess she felt very comfortable.
And then she's awakening up,
and she's kind of like, again.
I mean, again, if she was here, we could have a conversation, a dialogue. But to me, it suggests that there's probably something challenging going on in waking life, whether it's work, home, or whatever, and that the dream state has been kind of a respite for her. It puts her in a state of mind where she doesn't have to deal with those physical issues. It's also a state of mind where our whole self, our whole soul self, comes to the forefront. So it's not just our personality self that's trying to deal with the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a frustrating experience to be in that state of more awareness, more possibilities, and then get shoved right back into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the
I
real
think
world.
We all know that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Well, why don't you take another dream, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. I've had dreams that have been foretelling. For example, I had a dream about a store in the mall where I shopped, except in the dream, the store was painted yellow. Later that year, the store was being painted in that same shade of yellow. I've had others like that as well. Any insights why this happens? Well, let me give you a couple. I mean, I don't think the universe is sending her dreams about the color of the mall for painting tips, exactly. My sense is it's suggesting that this person has a intuitive ability,
mm-hmm.
and very often, or an extreme case of empathy, and very often if we're in a job or a situation, let's say we're really empathetic, and whatever job we're in or whatever we're doing in our life doesn't give us a chance to use that empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a very compassionate person and my whole job is accounting,
mm-hmm.
or working on an assembly line, that empathy and compassion has to come out another way, and very often it manifests as intuition. And so in our dream state, we're going to pick up on things that are going to happen just to bring to our awareness the fact that these things are going to happen. The fact that the paint is yellow, my sense is that she has been giving thought, yellow is the symbol of doing things, thinking things, to doing something, to creating something new. And so because her soul mind is trying to bring to her awareness, this project you've been thinking about needs to manifest, it picked up on the fact that this change was about to happen at the mall, and she dreamed about it. So to me, it would be an encouragement to move forward on whatever it is you've been thinking.
And where, when you interpret the meaning of colors, is that something you get from Casey or something from your own research?
Well, I mean, there's similarities among, you know, all different dream interpreters, whether you look up dream images and symbols or the Casey material. But things like red can have to do with energy. Orange is often associated with sexuality or creativity. Green is generally the heart. Yellow is intellect. Brown is earthliness, practicalness. I mean, so every color has something that is associated with it.
Good, but before we end, we have a couple minutes. We have your three books here, and I'd like to just highlight them and see which ones you might recommend for.
Okay.
Like, here we have, this is one I have at home and I use often. I think it's a great book. It's Dream Images and Symbols. It's a dictionary. Kind of, when you have a dream and you just kind of want to know, oh, what does a grandfather clock mean? Or what does a pill mean? Or kiss? And it just seems like you give people kind of a starting place to start from in interpreting that. Anything you'd like to share about?
Yeah, it has about 10,000 different interpretations in it, and basically it's some of the most common dream symbols, and it gives people lots of different ways to look at something. So, for example, if you dreamt about a fish, it might be food, it might be something fishy, it can be a symbol for Christianity, it could be something about emotions. And so what this book tried to do was to bring together a bunch of possibilities for people to consider when they're looking at their own dreams.
I see. Previously it was the Encyclopedia of Symbolism.
Yep.
Okay, and then you've got this. Well, this one is from Elsie Sechrist.
Elsie Sechrist knew Edgar Casey. One of the first people to actually go through the Casey information on dreams. There's more than there's almost 900 dream interpretation readings, and this is some of Elsie's work. She actually got on the Art Linkletter show a couple of times with that book.
I remember seeing that. And then here, last but not least, the best dream book ever, Accessing Your Personal Intuition and Guidance.
Yeah, actually, that came about for a couple of different reasons, but a longtime ARE person who I'd worked with dreams on a number of occasions, and I had shared with her some of my work with dreams, she said, you know, this could really be the best dream book ever. And so it was she that came up with the title. Her name is Margretha. And essentially, it's the ways I approach dream interpretation.
Oh.
So, for example, when you have a really convoluted dream, I recommend just coming up with a one-sentence actions overview. What's happening to whom? How to work with symbolism, how to work with dream emotions in a dream. It's just a step-by-step approach. And at the end of every chapter, it gives you sample dreams to try to work with. And at the back, I walk you through how I did it, and you can just compare.
And these books are all available through the website.
You can go to the website. You can go ARECatalog.com, EdgarCasey.org, Amazon.com. Yep.
Now, do you have anything, as people, I'm sure this has had a very positive reception. Do you do anything online, or if anybody wants to follow up with you kind of on dream? I know you don't want people emailing you the dreams, but do you have any other teaching opportunities for people?
If people want to go to EdgarCasey.org, we have a wealth of information on dreams. Just type in dreams in the search engine. They can also go to YouTube and look up Kevin Tedeschi Dreams and see a couple of dream lectures. Would probably be the easiest way.
Okay, good. Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation. I think it's been very valuable, and I hope we can have you back and do this again.
All right. Well, thanks, Peter. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Thank you. And thanks for watching, and hopefully we'll get Kevin back again in the near future, and we can kind of continue this dialogue on understanding our dreams. Thank you, and have a good day.